Okay, I've got 9:02. We'll go ahead and call this regular meeting of the Coryell County Commissioners Court to order at this time, noting that all members of the court are present. For those of you that are here in person, if you've got an electronic device, we would ask that you place it on silence at this time. And for those of you that are participating by Zoom, we'd ask that you place your device on silence until such time that you need to address the court. We'll begin this morning with a word of prayer. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, we come before you today humbled in your sight and asking for the forgiveness of our sins. And Lord, we're so thankful for the relief that you've given in this area with the rains that we've received. Lord, we always ask that you watch over the first responders that are protecting here on us, our military and our law enforcement, our emergency services and our firefighters. And Lord, we very, very humbly and graciously ask that you place your infinite wisdom of hand on this court so we may do here on earth what pleases you in heaven. We ask all these things in your son's holy name. Amen.
Amen.
Place to our flags. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Honor the Texas flag. I pledge allegiance to thee, Texas, one state, under God, one and indivisible. The next item on our agenda is the public forum. Citizens may address the court on any matter other than matters concerning county personnel or matters under litigation. Each citizen will be allocated 5 minutes with a total time not to exceed 30 minutes. Is there anyone here in person that would like to address the court this morning? Seeing and hearing none, is there anyone that's participating by Zoom that would like to address the court this morning?
Yes, Your Honor. Joette Marcosella.
Yes, Ms. Marcosella.
I'm going to send a message over the chat because I lose my voice a lot. So I'm going to send that. I'm going to try to anyway. But I'm going to go ahead and read what I had to say. Good morning. My name is Joette Marcosella, and I'm a landowner at the Twin Caverns Ranch Development in Oglesby, Texas. Twin Caverns is a beautiful area, and over 240 families chose to purchase land, build housing, and are excited to become citizens of Coryell County. As with any new development, a lot of work was and still needs to be done. I come to you today to address one very big project within the development that the Commissioner's Court, along with the Road and Bridge Department, are responsible for its oversight. Being Twin Caverns was a working ranch at one time, there was no paved roads. One of the selling points promoted for the buyers was the commitment to build paved roads in an agreed upon timetable and to guarantee that the roads would meet or exceed requirements. Coryell County subdivision regulations and permitting requirements would be followed. Engineering firms were required to do regular testing of soil, moisture, compaction, and lift at specific intervals. This was approved and accepted by Coryell County Commissioner's Court on June 8, 2021. The original dirt roads were not just leveled off by adding or deleting inches of dirt, but in several areas, 10, 20, 30 plus feet of dirt were added and compacted, creating a more level road. With this being constructed, more testing needed to be done to ensure safety and longevity of construction. In 2024, I asked my commissioner to be added to an upcoming agenda, was told that I could not. I was told that I could participate in the public forum item 4, which I did on May 28th, 2024, and what I'm doing once again today, October 28th, 2025. Both times, my concern is the road construction in Twin Caverns. Item 8 of today's agenda reads, consider releasing the construction bond for phase 1 and 2 of Twin Caverns and establish the maintenance bond amount. On October 2nd, 2024, phase 1 bond number 08-32185 was reduced from $4,289,713 down to $113,888 and Phase 2 bond number 10832198 in the amount of $2,928,253 was reduced to $1,372,356. Today, the developer is asking to release the bond in its entirety. Just a little bit of history. I met with Mr. Justin Mannix of the Road and Bridge Department in late March 2024, at which time the issue in front of us was the replatting of Phase 2 and the road construction. I asked for copies of documents. Mr. Mannix referred me to Mr. Brandon Belt, the county attorney. It was presented to me that all correspondence regarding Twin Caverns that I requested would be released by Mr. Belt and not by the Road and Bridge Department. I began requesting monthly reports for requests for reports and documents be sent to me by Mr. Belt beginning April 2024 and continued to ask in writing through October 2025. The number of reports varied but slowed down considerably in February of 2025. The road construction in Phase 2 was still incomplete. At that time, I requested in February, March, April, and May that without final reports of road construction, that the Road and Bridge Department, along with the Commissioner's Court, not release the balance of the road construction bonds. These written email requests were sent to Mr. Bell, all commissioners and staff, Judge Miller, Mr. Latham, and Mr. Mannix of the Road and Bridge Department. I was assured on April 29th, 2025, that there would be a final inspection with a checkoff list with Mr. Latham, Mr. Mannix, and Mr. Scott Waddell before the balance of the bonds would be released. I had asked if a landowner with a road construction experience be allowed to accompany them on the final inspection, but was never given confirmation. In August, I received a few additional reports from previous months, but no final. To date, I don't know if the final inspection was ever done, and if so, what were the results? On October 23rd, 2025, I wrote Mr. Belt regarding the final inspection and any other possible missing reports showing complete compliance. I pointed out that item 8 of today's agenda was for the releasing of the construction bonds for phase 1 and 2 and establishing the maintenance bond. I am asking that this request be delayed until the final inspection report is completed and available for review. The Road and Bridge Department must make available The Road and Bridge Department must make available all reports and documentation from the engineers pertaining to the road's construction for both phase 1 and phase 2. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Marcella. And I appreciate your timeliness. You're right on 5 minutes. So thank you. Is there any other participants from Zoom that would like to address the court this morning? All right, seeing and hearing none, we'll move on to item number 5 on the agenda, which is a public hearing. I apologize because that is a Scribner's error. There is no public hearing to be considered, no items to be discussed under item number 5. Item number 6 is the consent agenda, noting that there are 4 items there. The court can consider to approve the consent agenda as a whole, or you can select any or all of those items to be discussed individually.
Motion to approve consent agenda A, B, C, and D.
Second.
We've got a motion to approve the consent agenda from Commissioner Basham, a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 6? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 7 is the road and bridge report. Mr. Latham, you did not leave Mr. Mannix here running solo this morning, and he appreciates that.
So for the month of September, Judge, we had 87 open service requests at the end of it, 27 of them were permits, so 60 regular work orders. We closed out 55. We bladed and added base, 4 bladed 18 roads, repairing 3 low water crossing approaches, and call out for 23 times, call out work during that month. Repaired and cleaned out 3 cattle guards. We did some chip seal work at B-Pile, Lutheran Church, Oak Springs, and County Road 318. cleaned out 5 culverts, cleaned ditches at 8 locations, repaired 1 driveway. Insurance reset 1 culvert, replaced 2 driveway culverts. Took 1 fallen tree down to the roadway, pushed 3 fence rows, did road spraying for 14 roads, mowed grass at full width for 29 locations, and strip mowed 117 roads. Passed 21, installed 6 county road name signs, no, did installing curb signs, 1 reflector, 1 stop sign. Repaired 6 washed out roads, repaired 1 CMP, and replaced 1. Hauled off brush from 2 locations and trimmed trees at 12. That's all I have on the report, Judge, but I would ask that I about have my annual report complete. I probably could have had it this meeting, but if you could put that on the next agenda for my annual road bridge report. It's pretty voluminous. I'm just going to print a couple of them off for you guys to look at and one to file with Jennifer. And have a little bit of information on FEMA. I don't know if you'd want me to wait until we get down to the number 10 agenda item, Judge.
The, that update that Desiree sent out?
Yeah, I've heard from you guys.
Yeah. No, and that was very helpful. I think, yeah, since that is directly pertinent with 4187, I think if you hold that okay. Until that particular time. I think as an effort to be a little bit efficient with your annual report, since it's going to have a lot of information in it, if you'd print 1 report for the county clerk's office and then just email the rest of the court, and that way they can go through that and identify, you know, which areas they may or may not want to print, given that I think it's going to be a pretty healthy report of what all you've done.
Is it easier for front and back or single page for you?
Single page.
Do you have a PDF or do you have to scan it in?
PDF is fine.
Okay. I can just email it to you. And that's easier. Because it'll be like that technique.
Any objections from the court on the guidance that I've given Road and Bridge on the their upcoming annual report? And we're looking at just 1 second. It's to be determined. We'll select that date, but potentially the second week. First, I'm going to just put it as the first meeting of November.
Make a motion to approve or accept the road and
bridge. Got a motion to accept the road and bridge report from Commissioner Matthews.
Second
from Commissioner Weddle. Any further discussion on item number 7? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 8 is to consider releasing the construction bond for phase 1 and 2 of Twin Caverns and establish the maintenance bond amount. Mr. Mannix, you want to lead us off?
Hey, Judge. The developers requested that we release the construction bond to the maintenance bond. We did a final drive through, and Mr. Light and I went through and actually marked on roads and areas that they needed to fix, and they did indeed patch those areas. I think they fulfilled everything they're supposed to, in my opinion, per our regulation.
Sure, you may be aware, but some questions came up, I think, kind of. Probably about procedural, and certainly there's always room for improvement on procedural, but their original construction timeline, did we or your department, or, you know, even Commissioner, to your extent, did we ever extend or allow them additional time for road constructions under this development?
We had a meeting in Brandon Bell's office with the developer, and when things weren't moving very swiftly, and they gave us a new timeline, we were okay with that at that time.
Okay. No, so there was communications about adjusting what their original construction timeline was, and would you say that, to the best of your knowledge, that after adjusting that timeline, they fulfilled those requirements?
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Commissioner Odell, I think you provided the court for some information. Would you like to comment at this time, or?
First off, I think the delays, everybody knows we live in Central Texas, and we had what, three major rain events during that construction time. So, we certainly, anybody who's done that, can understand that can happen to timelines. There have been multiple, inspections. I've been on at least four of them, but two very intense inspections where we drove down every single road with the representatives, with the construction company and the developer. Mr. Mannix would at times would get out and measure the shoulders. We looked at every bit of drainage and made a punch list. And then that punch list has been, completed and, on accurate. So as far as I'm concerned, the last time I was out there, it looked very good to me. But I just have a couple of questions that I can ask Mr. Mannix that I think would, help everybody. Mr. Mannix, in your opinion, has the developer of Twin Caverns Subdivision and their contractors completed the construction of the interior roadways to the standards set forth in the Coryell County subdivision rules?
That's my knowledge, yes.
Are there any other items other than the roadway construction that you would identify as a deficit as required by our subdivision rules?
No, sir.
That one, guys, in our subdivision rules, we dictate checking of mailbox clusters. They have to have the road signs, in place. Just some of those other little check marks. And in fact, in our inspection run, we made note of a couple of signs that were missing, and they're replacing those. You know how that goes. People love to steal the signs. Don't know why.
Not here in Coryell County.
Yeah, right here in Coryell County. Right. So I want to get those two questions out of the way. But I'd entertain any other, or we would entertain any other questions that the court might have regarding it.
Would it hurt to table this? Maybe for our next commissioner's meeting?
Yeah, and I ask why.
Well, when you receive this, I like to talk to our counsel as well, too, to see if he has any concerns or.
He'll be back in here in a minute. So. Yeah, I mean, I've already.
I don't know what would the fees be reduced if we back still be having any.
Oh, yeah. Look, the way this works in our subdivision rule. They have the construction bonds, which, covers them for the completeness of construction. In fact, a lot of people maybe don't understand. Once you move the maintenance bond, that's advantageous for the homeowners because then they can start pointing out some, maintenance issues. And that's what we've determined, that most everything that's left, any problems. I, too, saw the pictures of those, washouts. But let's face it. This project is built on a ranch, built on the top of a hilly, rocky, area, and you can fill those in, and then the next rain, they get washed out, and just short of putting concrete in there, which is not a part of our subdivision rules. We have many county roads, of course, that suffer the same fate. And then the other thing is, once you establish that and you do get some grass growing, and we've had a really good year, grass is the best erosion control there is. And if you go in there and disturb what's already growing, you could make matters worse in some of those cases. Yeah, I mean, in an area with that many roads, you're going to have a few washout areas, and that'll fall under the maintenance bond, if I'm correct. That's the whole idea, is move it to the maintenance bond, and then they can correct those, you know, items as they come up.
To Commissioner Basham's point, it does appear, since we have received correspondence, that there's a certain level of legality that comes into question. We have not had the opportunity to consult with the county attorney under the provisions of attorney-client privilege. Under another matter today, there is an executive session in which it specifically establishes the ability to discuss items with the county attorney under attorney-client privilege. And I would think that it may be prudent at a minimum to table this item until after that executive session, which would allow this court under the provisions of the Open Meetings Act to discuss some of the issues that have been brought forth by a law firm. And I want to make it very clear that that correspondence was not received until yesterday. So there has been no opportunity for this court to really engage in any type of response. Before we made a decision, I think it would be best served from our citizens to be able to engage with some legal consultation prior to making that decision. Notwithstanding what you've expressed, Commissioner Weddle, because I believe you succinctly described the steps that the Road and Bridge Department has gone under or has followed, as well as following the our own subdivision regulations. So I don't call that into question, but I do think that we should have an opportunity to discuss this with Mr. Bell prior to entertaining a motion and decision either way.
I make a motion that we table number 8 until after the closed meeting executive session.
We have a motion to table until after the closed meeting executive session from Commissioner Weddle, a second from Commissioner Basham. Is there any further discussion on item number 8? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. We will move that action item following item number 23. We'll move on to item number 9, which is to consider amended construction schedule for Hidden Creek subdivision.
Okay. Back when we had the meeting in Mr. Bell's office with the developer on Twin Caverns, we discussed Hidden Creek also. They were to focus on Twin Caverns at that time, and they were, as soon as they got done with Twin Caverns, they were going to move over to Hidden Creek. They provided us a new updated construction schedule, and that's what we're presenting to the court. We had a meeting with them about a month or so ago, again, about Hidden Creek, and this is the timeline that they had come up with. They're approaching the 2-year limit according to our regulations. We're supposed to have everything done within that 2 years, but this timeline showed that. But my opinion, they're going to do something different, because I don't think there's going to have a subgrade fleet by November 15th. But I asked Mr. Bell if I needed to present this to the court, and he said yes. And so that we can hold the fish to fire, and I think I'll be fine again.
Yeah. So what they're proposing is to include subgrade base and asphalt completion. They're requesting an extension until December 23rd of 2025. Is that correct?
Yes.
And that falls into the two-year window?
It's a few days out. Let me get that information, please. Actually, the bond is showing till December 31st of 20. No, I ain't right either. I wasn't that wrong then. Bond is showing that December 3rd is when it took effect of 23. So
December 3rd of 25 would be the.
Yeah, would be the 2 years.
Mr. Latham, I would ask that do you see any concerns? I'm assuming when we say the asphalt, this is hot mix asphalt. Is that correct? Is that what's going in on that?
Potentially going to have weather issues.
Okay, that was what I'm getting at. Is really, are we doing ourselves any benefit by saying pushing them to, you know, try to complete in December versus do we make this a spring completion project?
In that meeting that we had, we told them that the goal is to have this project finished by December. We said that if it came down to it, you got the road base and everything, you're waiting on asphalt due to the weather, we'd be understanding. But the goal is to try to have it done by then. Of course, we know the weather may play a factor into that.
Well, and historically, our temperatures are going to be too low to be laying asphalt at the time.
That's what I was getting at. So there's still a lot to get, I think, just getting the base done.
They've had 30 or 40 days of the best weather they could have hoped for to lay dirt out there, and they have not met our expectations.
Yeah, well, they're saying what they've been doing.
I think it warrants, again, because, you know, it becomes our inherent responsibility to determine what is the best course of action given our subdivision regulations. I would like to seek counsel from Mr. Belt in what our courses of action and our options are, given that, yes, they have had some a good window of opportunity to complete the construction, whether they chose to or not, is really on that company's decision-making process. I think this was another one that we... That's what I'm getting at, Mr. Commissioner Taylor. Thank you. There's a motion to table item number 9 until following the executive session. To seek counsel from Commissioner Taylor, and I believe a second from Commissioner Matthews. Is that correct? Okay. Is there any other discussion concerning item number 9? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 10 is update on updating actions on grants to include, but not include in not limited to hazard mitigation plan. I don't believe there's any additional updates other than we're still seeking reimbursement funding on that. The Resilient Communities Program, I failed to reach out to MRB to get a timeline to schedule a workshop. I'd like to get that in before Thanksgiving So we'll follow up with that. I'll send y'all some proposed dates. The community development block grant under CDBG MIT, those are the four items, the four projects that we have from the floods of 2015 and 16. We had a meeting, as a matter of fact, update meeting from yesterday. So I'll make it very, very clear. There is no anticipated construction on any of those four projects until the end of next summer. Right now, their proposed timeline is to bid those out in the June, July timeframe. Originally, they were going to bid those four projects out as groups of two, the three into the north side of the county and one that we have in Coppers Cove. But they've come back, the engineers have come back and said it's probably going to be more efficient to just bid them all out as one packet. And so that is the templated plan currently. They are in the process of securing the national environmental license for this. The engineers, which are Walker Partners, they're in the process of doing preliminary engineering at this point. According to the GLO, again, we've got Langford as our grant manager on that. According to the GLO, the Langford people, it seems that everything is on or is progressing upon the on the timeline that they originally proposed. So I welcome your questions or. Okay. DR 4781, Desiree had sent out an email last week, update on that. Mr. Latham, I'll let you go ahead and update kind of where we are with that process.
Well, Judge, 95-99% of our forest accountant projects are in CRC or once above CRC stage for review. Now we're starting to scope out individual projects, ones that we have touched. Email here. Current approximate cost for all those are around 1.3. Now that's going to be debris removal and everything. Most of that, might reduce that 1.3 by the time it goes through CRC a little, but they're having to justify and make sure everything matches up. But it's moving. It's better news than we've had. So we have. Those are two, I get them a little confused, projects and then roads, because I consider a road a project, but I believe there's two projects left. So Desiree stated an email there. And mainly that is bridges and low water crossings that we haven't worked on. I believe there's four or five bridges in there. We're going to have to do some riprap protection around. 8 or 10 kind of low water crossings we're going to be looking at. We've taken a few projects out. These are going to be simpler to do them in-house or we're picking them up through other grants, like the CDBG event, like 274 government. We had Arrowwood, large drainage structure on there. I think we're going to pick that up to another grant opportunity. Things like that we've been refining, but everything has been moving. We've been getting coordination from FEMA now. I kind of will give you an update on that. It looks like that forest count will be fairly soon. So.
Okay. That's good news. Not great news, but it's good news.
We're trying to minimize some of the engineering and H&H cost. Just pick some of these back best again the way they were instead of totally mitigating moving forward because the engineering costs going to be prohibitive, I feel like, in some of them. So there's still the 162, the Durock out there, which we submitted that, and I get mixed up, 403 or 406. Don't know the status of that. Do you have any update on that? So we don't know whether to put those in a project on the FEMA side or see. I think we're going to go ahead and put them in to just wait and see how the 406 plays out.
Yeah.
We had some correspondings with that. It's being engineered by the, I can't remember the name of the firm that the court awarded that to, but that and the Lutheran Church Road, which was not in a FEMA event, but we were eligible to put it in. So I think the path on 162 is we can get our emergency repair costs,
mm-hmm.
and then we can get what it would take to bring it back to what it was cost. But we got to make a decision at that point in time. We're going to move forward to build it back to what it was.
Or the mitigation.
406 is going to pick it up or mitigate it.
Yeah.
So if 406 picks it up, it'll be mitigated. It'll be a total, you know, new structure. Any way to repair them back whole, they're going to be demoed out. I mean, they're undermined.
Yeah.
That's been the hardest thing is explaining to FEMA that was emergency repair. And we have a good enough documentation showing like it's still undermined, even though we did cap it with 6-8 inches of concrete and a lot of rebar. It's kind of lipstick on a pig. The top looks good. You got to see what's under it. So.
Well, I know you know this. But I do like to reiterate it. I mean, FEMA's lingo in dealing with the rural parts of America versus the urban parts is a challenge because they don't talk about low water crossings in Miami, Florida, or Philadelphia, Pennsylvania, or New York City. Those are terms that they don't use. And even when you go back to very early on, when they talked about debris removal, what we consider debris removal is primarily vegetation, down trees and things like that. We're not talking about, housing insulation and potential asbestos. And, you know, it's so to get to the point of when we talk about we do an emergency repair on something, our communication is challenged because our terminology does not always match up with their terminology. And they're looking at a book that says, okay, this is what you do for this. And their book really doesn't address it because disasters do not affect the rural areas on the same magnitude as they do in the urban areas. So
that's a good point, Judge. Debris removal for us is vegetation. It's not hazardous. So after we finally got that explained, then that waived some of those dump site criteria. And kind of the same thing on low water crossings. We'll call them low water crossings. They might call them large drainage structures or elevated structures or bridges. It's terminology thing. But it's a lot of that's clarified now and moving forward.
Yeah. But, and I say that because I want to highlight, you know, between what Mr. Latham has done, Mr. Mannix has done, Ms. Davis has done. I mean, this has been a pretty protracted, you know, process. And a big part of it has been on just the communication and information flow piece of things. It's not anything that they have not done. I mean, I believe that they have gone above and beyond to try to bridge those gaps. No pun intended with the bridge. But it is a challenge because the federal system does not match up with rural needs. It is very evident that it is geared towards the urban areas because it just is. I don't know why it's because, but it just is. So I want to say publicly that I appreciate what Mr. Latham, Mr. Mannix, and Ms. Davis have done. Because it has not been an easy process. And I will also caveat that by saying that we have counties that are around us, and I'm not going to name them. You can reach out to them. But we have counties that are around us that were affected by those exact same floods of 2024 that they threw their hands up and they just quit in trying to deal with FEMA because it takes man hours. It takes resources. It takes people's time and effort to be able to, you know, deal with these to recoup, you know, the funds that we've expended to restore our infrastructure. It didn't go without cost. And then, I mean, we're still spending a cost. So I don't want the court to lose sight of that, that really they've done a tremendous job in wading through the different concepts between the way that the federal government administers these programs and really what our needs are. So from my standpoint, thank you.
Maybe you can claim cedar trees as either of the place. Maybe they'll understand that.
Well, the one thing that's helped is a bit reassuring Desiree that this is a marathon and it's a sprint. So now that we've got a solidified PDMG and everything's changed, it's now we have one contact same that is a FEMA person, not a contractor. I can't even remember at this point. We've been through 9 or 10 PDMGs, which and each time we've lost documentation. And even now, the last meeting I was in, they said, you guys had all the information here in October. We should have been having this package back in, you know, in the event of May. And by September, October, we had all of our documentation sitting there. But when a disaster hits, he was short of manpower. They have the contract out. And then revolving door until it slows down a little. One other thing, Judge, there is a time extension we've been working on. We've got the letter drafted.
Mm-hmm.
We are now in the process. One thing they required with that is in the 18 months, we kind of have to write out a land project schedule. Thought it won't be 100% accurate because we don't have all the scopes of work on those untouched projects yet.
Yeah.
FEMA's working on those. I actually just got out of a meeting with Desiree, gave her and Tim and Buster some direction on how to draft that up and go ahead and submit that. The deadline to submit that is, I believe, November 17th.
Yep.
I'm going to try to submit that this week or first next.
Okay.
The letter that we did draft up, Tim helped us draft it up and get all the verbiage right. So the letter's good. Now we just have to put out the remaining 15, I call them projects. They're only saying it's 2 or 3 projects, but there's about 15 locations.
Sites.
So one bridge, one low water crossing. There's 15 or 18 of those that we're looking at and refining with them.
No. That's good. I probably owe a follow-up meeting with Desiree. I've left her out there hanging the last couple months. So, no, great update on the 4781. Really, what? And then I think you described it very aptly that it is a marathon, not a sprint. Didn't take as long as CDBG MIT marathon, but
we're approaching there.
Well, yeah,
filing another 18 months.
But. Any questions or comments from the court concerning DR 4781? Okay. Moving on to the Leon Cowhouse Flood Project. I had not been in contact with Mr. Manning, but I don't have any additional information from what he briefed us on the last meeting. Still believe that we're on track to get those flood sensors, both the tributaries as well as the main sensors, put in within the next 30 to 60 days.
I went and looked at some of those sensors.
Mm-hmm.
They have 2 different styles. They kind of have a newer style that's about this big that'll just be attached to the bridge so there's nothing in the stream. They actually look very simple. They're not going to impact or inconvenience our structures anywhere. They look like a piece of pipe, say probably 4 inches, about that long, we'll just mount up on the bridge, and they have solar panels on them. They essentially report back to them with using like some kind of sonar technology, I'm assuming.
Yeah, for heights.
Yeah, because they set up on top of the bridge.
Yeah. And
it has a little battery pack in it. Assuming SIM's card, it sends that information back to their computers, digital. Very neat. looking a little, they're not the ones like you would see from the river authorities and large structures.
Right.
We did go around, kind of touch on, we selected some of these in this high priority that they might potentially get some money for to upgrade some of our drainage structures. But let's move forward.
Okay. Anything else to cover under the Leon Cowhouse Flood Project or questions, comments, concerns? Okay. All right. Hearing none, we'll move on to item number 11, which is to consider court order CC 25-09, authorization of emergency budget expenditures. That court order, I believe, went out in your packet, as well as the documentation to support that. This deals directly with the boilers in the older portion of the jail. I believe at this point we're working on working off of one of the two boilers. One of the boilers has, we have, for lack of a better term, cannibalized parts to be able to sustain the other boiler. But even at this point, the one functioning boiler is tripping, the sensors are tripping, and, based off of the temperature range. The impact overall is that we did not have the opportunity to address this as part of the FY26 budget. The court order that you see before us, or that's been presented to you, states the limited amounts that we can expend for this particular item, and those budget amounts, that budget amount, it would be specifically for this, not to be able to be used for anything other than addressing the repair and or replacement of the boilers within the jail. That being said, not to be considered today, but Commissioner Basham has provided the court various options of repair or replacement for those moving forward. I believe there's some conversations to be had in the near future about what we should do, what's the best course of action. But you're looking as little as potentially $10,000 for a temporary repair up to right around $300,000 for a full replacement of those. But in the event that we were to have a catastrophic failure at this point, without the authorization for the emergency expenditure, we would not have the ability to take action on that. So with that, I'll turn it over to Commissioner Basham. You've done a lot of work on this. Anything that you might want to add from your standpoint?
Well, I think y'all got the three quotes. Mailbox, I do apologize. We just got those things yesterday afternoon late. But guys, I mean, going over, I think our best option is going with the BSR quote. It's right now at $400 to $700, it could go up to possibly close to $10,000. And they're saying that they can get started right away and completely rebuild those that were brand new. And that's the route that I think we should go. But I'm open for any suggestions. I mean, there was another quote for to bring in, about two new ones. I think that quote was at $68,000. $63,830. So, but I'm open for, we'll have a little discussion about it, see what y'all think.
I agree. I think BSR needs to start the process and if they can fix it.
Yep, that thing.
And the way I talked to them, they didn't say temporary thing. They said fix it.
Yeah, that's why, yeah. It'll be, like I said, they'll both be completely redone, brand new parts. And it'll have a 6-month warranty. You know, like you say, when you go through there, they get in there, they talk about the pump. They don't know if they're going to replace that. You know, that's from the 47, that'll be a $2,600. And talking about cleaning out the
sediment.
Yeah, sediment from the diner.
Official, but.
They said they're ready, so I think we called them today and helped them get started.
Yeah, I read over their quote here, and they've actually come in, and then they're what they're saying they think is wrong with it is a very high possibility. I'm thinking 99%. I worked on some of these when I worked at the prison, and if you don't have the flow, it's going to overheat.
When I was with that gentleman working on it, he got it working. But we need to move on this.
The BSR?
Yep. So if we go with the BSR, then really, we can probably cover that expense under normal maintenance.
Yes.
It would not require, and that's what I was going to say. I mean, we kind of need to get back because we didn't have quotes, so we can't really, we're limited as to what we can talk about. All right. I think we've kind of overall got the picture. You've got the information. So
really,
with
the commission to say at this time, Judge, I'll make a motion no action on number 11.
I respect your motion, Commissioner, but I would tell you that if we have a catastrophic failure without this, we have to reconvene to reconsider this. This doesn't mean we have to expense this.
Yeah, so we can table it then. That's what I'm asking.
Well, my recommendation to the court is to approve this. Because it is, you know, we use this word, this is a contingency, but it's a contingency that is very restrictive. We can't use this on anything other than those boilers for the jail. And that's why my recommendation to the court is to approve the court order. But we have the avenue, now that we've got some additional information, to pursue repairing what we have. And the outcome of that would, again, if we have a catastrophic failure, we have a mechanism to be able to repair or replace those boilers. So you did, in fact, make a motion to
retract that.
You want to withdraw your motion at this point? Okay. And Commissioner Matthews, you had seconded. So do you understand the motion has been withdrawn?
I do understand.
Okay, very good.
Disagree with it, but I understand it.
Okay.
Make a motion to approve court order CC25-09.
Okay, we've got a motion to approve court order CC25-09, which is the authorization of emergency budget expenditure for the replacement or repair of the boiler within the jail. Is there a second to that motion?
It sounds like there's some questions, so I think maybe a little more discussion. Just to clarify for me also, I get it 100%. All we're doing is, you know, saying just in case. And I agree. I mean, BSR could get in there because they said they can repair it. And then all of a sudden, you know.
Well, boom. They cleaned the tank out. They could find a hole in the tank too.
But, yeah. And so all of a sudden now we've gone out of the realm of using maintenance, you know, funds to having to, you know, authorize. And so what are the, I guess we just got to weigh, what are the pluses and minuses of having to reconvene in a special session, which now with the new rules, that's almost a 4 or 5 day event depending on where it falls. So we're really just weighing insurance policy just in case. I think it makes sense to me. Yeah, now that I talk about it, so I'll second that motion.
Okay. Again, we've got a motion to approve and a second to that. Is there any more discussion or clarification the court wishes to discuss under item number 11?
Amen.
Okay. Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 12 is to consider the health service agreement renewal for Southern Health Partners for inmate health care services. Captain McClinton, do you want to broach this one for us?
Basically, we already have a contract with these folks that renews annually without one of the partners deciding that they don't want to be in this contract. In that contract, it also gives them an allowance to raise their fees yearly from 3% up to 7%. This is what I was talking about when we did budget about the do we keep our medical, do we do RFPs? Because I don't know how much money they were going to go with. Fortunately for us, they only did a 4% increase. So we are looking at an amount of $268,436.28 and a per diem rate. The original contract was for 92 inmates, because that's what we always. We added on 47. So anything over the 92 inmates is an additional $2.36 per inmate above 92, which is going to be about $40,485.80. So our total on that would be about $308,922.08. And that's rough math, because there's
that. Could you say that one number one more time? That sounds really.
The total?
Yeah, 308.
308,
922.08.
Okay. You also consider in there that it's not just the 92 to 139. It's what do we have, right?
Right.
And our fluctuation goes up and down. Fortunately for them, they can track that because every inmate that comes in goes into the medical system. So they can track daily what their daily population is. And they get our daily report. So their accounting is, I guess, it's going to have a balanced out what it's going to be. What I did was I give you a number that is at 139 inmates,
right?
Because that's our max. So, but as you well know, we try to stay under that number so that we don't fall out of compliance.
And I had a really great conversation with Captain McClinton, and I had told him that I was going to send out these numbers to you, which I failed to do. What it amounts to, though, is it's very advantageous for us to renew this contract as it stands, as it's been presented. And from the standpoint of the variance in our jail population is a savings to us. We're not paying for 139 unless we have 139. I believe yesterday's report was we had 99.
Yes.
In the jail. So we would be paying the base fee of the 92
right.
plus times $2.36. So I applaud the jail staff and the sheriff for negotiating a very advantageous contract as opposed to just an overall flat fee that maxes out at the 139. It is tens of thousands of dollars of savings.
And the other thing to consider with Judge is exactly along the line that you're saying is that if we decide, hey, we're going to go out for RFP and get another contractor, now we're going to be paying 139 on that contract no matter what. There won't be a per diem rate because that's the number they're going to go on.
And Cap, what was that number? $7 or something.
Yeah, I think it figures out to like $7.82.339 or whatever.
So we're gonna say $5 an inmate.
Anything above 92.
Above 92, where the cost savings is built in. If like today we have 99 inmates, we're not paying for 139. We're paying another $2 to change for $7.
So it is a cost savings for us on the other side of that. Now, we don't want to go and shake that horn because then they might realize that it is a cost savings, you know. But we knew it was coming. We just didn't know how much it was going to be. Fortunately, like I said, it's only a 4% increase. So
yeah.
I think with everybody,
the contract benefits everybody involved.
Yeah, everybody's seen that increase more, even more so in the other jails. I attended the jail conference. Medical was going through the roof for everybody, you know. And I think we're very fortunate to stay where we're at with who we have. So
I'd make a motion that we accept the health service agreement renewal with Southern Health Partners for inmate health care services.
We've got a motion from Commissioner Weddle to accept the health service agreement renewal. And a second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 12? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye. All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 13 is to consider a local service agreement with Grand Natural Incorporated for the collection and disposal of cooking oil from the county jail. Cal McClinton, we're going to call you back up. Don't sit down. Second round.
All right, so this contract has been reviewed by Meat Belt Andrew. Cooking oil that comes out of the jail, we have to have a way to dispose of it. We won't get into how it was disposed of previous, prior to me. However, we've been storing this in 5-gallon buckets as we go. We didn't really know what we're going to do with it. Came across this company. This is 100% free to the county. They'll supply the receptacle as long as we meet their requirements, such as keeping it locked, and we have to strain the oil and those type of things. And these companies, according to Mr. Bell, I didn't realize this, but evidently this is big business with resale of his vegetable oils and cooking oils for making whatever products that they cook. So it's a free contract for us. There's no cost involved unless we do something to damage their equipment intentionally or that type of thing. Other than that, they're calling off my waste is the way I see it. So at no expense to us.
I make a motion to approve the agreement with Grand Natural.
We have a motion to approve the service agreement with Grand Natural Incorporated from Commissioner Matthews. Second from Commissioner Basham. Any further discussion on item number 13? The only thing that I would add is I applaud because, you know, this is environmental impact, conservation of resources. So I appreciate the jail taking, moving forward with being more responsive and ecologically. Responsible. So thank you for that and reducing waste. So with that, we've got a motion and a second. Any further discussion on item number 13? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 14 is a discussion concerning imposing a burn ban for all or portions of Coryell County. I'd had a conversation with Mr. Vaden last week, and he asked that we put this on the agenda as a discussion item. Understanding that, the weather forecast did indicate that there may be rain upcoming. That's why we didn't, offer up just a burn ban order at this time. I'm not going to speak for everyone. I'll allow you opportunity to comment. I know my property, 3.75 inches over a two-day period this past weekend. There is standing water in my pastures. It seems like the rivers and creeks are flowing pretty well. We got a good rain, not a tremendous amount of runoff, some in some areas, but I welcome your feedback. I will say that looking at the forecast moving over the next couple weeks is some drier weather coming in. We've got a cold front that's scheduled to move in. Not a lot of precipitation anticipated. So this may be an item that we reconsider at our next meeting. But at this point, I don't think that there's any immediate action that the court needs to take. And I will tell you, I was looking at the burn map yesterday, anywhere from like 8 to 14 people were doing local burns you know, on their property. So I think they're taking advantage of the wet weather, the cooler weathers that we've had to be able to clear up some dry debris. But I welcome your comments.
I agree with you. I thought it looked this in 2 weeks or an extreme meeting in my area. There was anywhere from 2.5 to 4 inches. Yeah, so thank you.
As long as we look at it seriously in our next meeting, because I mean, we had a fire Sunday afternoon. They lit it Saturday, and then it rekindled Sunday, and then it caught grass on fire.
No,
much grass is out there. It may be wet down low, but the top is not.
The top is not.
That's,
and we are at the end of the growing season, and that's where
they're calling for a freeze toward the end of the week. You're going to look at lots of dry grass.
Yeah. But no, I mean,
but I agree. I'm hoping we can hold off for 2 weeks, but sure. It's a little different when you're one of the ones that goes out there and fires.
Freeze, we're tired of mowing.
Don't pass that to you.
Got bars up, muscle cows.
We need a motion to table that till the next commission report.
No, this was just for discussion. Because if we really had, we had not had some rain, some wet weather, probably would have done a disaster declaration and just issued one. But it really, just looking at the weather forecast and the timing when we have to file the agenda, you know, earlier than we used to, that you know, wanted to give God and Mother Nature an opportunity to bless us with some rains. And he did. I just fundamentally believe that, you know, we can impose a burn ban, but that really restricts those that are responsible, as opposed to those that are less responsible. And we do have those. I mean, I like to give our citizens every opportunity, and we will get the message out that this is a prime opportunity to burn off, you know, brush and debris that's collected, and please take advantage of it while we are under safer conditions. But good discussion, Commissioner Taylor, and I appreciate your service on the volunteer fire departments and responding to those. As one other discussion point of that, trying to keep it concise, with the weather front that's coming in, winds are anticipated over, I believe they're coming in this afternoon, but certainly tomorrow, Thursday, and Friday, winds will exceed 23 miles an hour. Gusts, which prohibit under state laws of burning. I believe there's sustained winds potentially on Thursday and Friday of up to 40 miles an hour. It was a very kind of putting all these weather forecasts together. So it's not conducive to burning, but we'll definitely have it on here as an item to consider in November. Any other comments, concerns under item number 14? Okay. Moving on to item number 15, which is to consider establishing a county IT transition team. I believe Commissioner Weddle had kind of laid the foundation of this in our special meeting after selecting an IT vendor in some conversations with him. I think he's come up with kind of an overarching concept of what this looks like and a proposed set of individuals to sit on this IT transition team. So, Commissioner Weddle, I'll turn it over to you.
Thank you, sir. I've spoken with most. Sheriff, I apologize. I haven't spoken to you yet, but I'm going to maybe request to be on this transition team. First off, we received the draft contract, which is Mr. Belt's reviewing that right now. Goldsmith Solutions will be on site this Thursday and Friday, and the judge will be letting the different department heads and elected officials know which departments that they want to go start, you know, digging into and finding out everything that they've got, so they can provide us that before we sign the contract. That's kind of their thing, is to give us all that information. Having said that, my proposal for a transition team would be Roger Miller, Commissioner Scott Weddle, tax assessor collector Justin Carruthers, county clerk Jennifer Newton, Sergeant Chris Spencer, correct? Am I good? County attorney Brandon Belt, and Road and Bridge administrator Justin Latham. Just the goal of this group would be to do that first initial meeting with, you know, Goldsmith Solutions, kind of hear their rollout, give them some guidance, give them some different areas that we think they need to concentrate on, and then hopefully this group will come out of there being ambassadors to really work on making this a clean transition. So I'd like to put that slate up for the court's approval.
I think Commissioner Weddle has succinctly captured kind of the intent of it. Mr. Goldsmith has asked if he could do or begin his initial assessments this Thursday and Friday. Specifically, Sheriff, he did identify the Sheriff's Department, knowing that you are a pretty significant organization, so he would like to have some time to meet with you. If you will let me know who the best point of contact is to coordinate that, I'm not going to assume that it's Sergeant Spencer, but if you'll let me know who that key point of contact is there. And then for the meetings, I think most of the meetings for the IT transition team can be done virtual or conference call. Certainly there were some that will be, on site. So if you can attend those, that's great. If not, I mean, again, you'll have that opportunity or that option to attend remotely. But getting kind of the priorities established, once there's concurrence on the contract, getting the priorities established for how they move forward with what departments to emphasize, I think one gives some predictability to our elected officials, as well as establishing expectations for our IT vendor as they move forward with this.
Judge, could I ask a question on the IT service? Mm-hmm. Procedurally, on the county side, how do department heads in the past used to have their budget in their budget when they manage their budgets or elected officials? Will this team be involved in making that policy about how do we know what we can and can't spend as a department, each department, or how do we authorize? There were just questions that I feel like I would have. We have some IT needs and software we'd like to look at, and the transition coming up, and who would be our point of contact as department heads go to say, is this something we can't do? Is that something we bring back to the court, or is that? There were questions that I would have. So.
Overarching, okay, is, our contract is basically an all-inclusive service contract. So your break fix things, network security, all of those things kind of cover up. And then there are, and I believe one of the questions you'd kind of posed is, as you're transitioning from one set of software to another set of software, can they assist with the development of the procurement documents that we would need. And they have agreed to do that. And so then the final piece of that becomes, as I'm understanding your question about, you know, who controls the expenditures of things, those will...
How do we manage that, I guess, since we don't have visibility on it?
They will identify if it is an out-of-scope project and if there's any additional costs that go along with that. And there are funds budgeted within our IT line items that exceed what just our service agreement will be. So it won't reflect on your department directly, but we'll just need a policy. And Goldsmith, they've talked with us about, you know, some policies. We don't have really good policies that say this is how we operate in the IT world, what our security we don't have policies that address IT. And as part of what I believe they've committed to is they will help us deliver, you know, develop those. They've got examples already. We don't have to reinvent the wheel. But as part of the IT transition team, we will take a look at those, and then those will get presented to the court for approval. Does that answer? So I believe under consideration right now is the establishing of a county IT transition team. Commissioner Weddle, had you made that in the form of a motion? I didn't recall
it. No, I was going to ask if anybody need me to repeat the individuals. Are you good? Okay. All right. Then I would make a motion that we accept the slate of county employees for the county IT transition team, and I'll get Ms. Newton that list in formal.
We've got a motion to establish the county IT transition team from Commissioner Weddle. Second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion on item number 15? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it, motion carries. Item number 16 was discussion and consideration of transition of IT services. Commissioner Matthews.
Yes, I put that on there last week. I think some questions were proposed to Mr. Belt, and I don't think he felt comfortable making those decisions. So I think during the process of this, that this needs to be on there until we get the full transition done.
So, Judge, I did ask visited with Commissioner Matthews the other day about IT stuff, for lack of a better term, that I thought this item probably didn't be on the agenda for an extended period of time. There will be things that the court will have to make decisions on. And I mean, currently I have a quote to extend the licensing on some equipment that is owned by us that is housed in the Waco data center. And it appears to me as if we need to those extended licensing agreements on those pieces of equipment. But then again, as I have mentioned from time to in the past, I don't really want to be in charge of IT anymore. And so I think as we move forward, you know, I don't know what to do with that bill, with that renewal of those licenses. I don't have I've got Mr. Goldsmith's number, his 1-800 number in this contract. So I guess I do have it now. I don't know if I'm supposed to call and ask him, or I don't know if I'm supposed to pull a trigger on what I'm supposed to do. I do know that we have things in progress that I have moved forward with to complete. We had requests for quotes for example, for two new computers for the sheriff's office. That's me and Spencer visited about probably a month ago, and the quotes came in for those. They've got the computers in stock, and so I went ahead and moved forward with that because I figured if we didn't, it would be at least 3 weeks, maybe four, maybe five, maybe six before they got them, and it's something that is needed, I thought. So I went ahead and moved forward with that.
I just need a little, well, I don't know if I need any direction from the court or not. I just want y'all to know what's going on. I want y'all to know what I'm doing. And that way, nobody can say, well, I don't know why you did that. Or, you know, that's not what we want it done, or that's not how we wanted that handled. So if something comes up, I'll bring it to y'all. And if it's my goal is to call Mr. Goldsmith and visit with him about those licenses and make sure that he agrees with me that those are something we're going to need and pull the trigger. But y'all want me to do something different. Now is your chance to tell me.
That unless it were, I mean, and I no issues with the two computers that have been ordered for the sheriff's office. I think at this point, if it were a hardware issue, that needs to be something that we probably should vet through Mr. Goldsmith before we pull the trigger on it, even if it's planned or projected, so that he's aware of that piece. There are numerous items that I was just not aware of that have come to light. One deals with rack space at the data center over in Waco. I thought it was set up one way. It was set up a little bit differently. Those are some things we're going to have to work through. It's nothing that's a, you know, earth-shattering obstacle, but those are the kind of things I believe Mr. Belt is trying to address. Is there are little nuances that we're going to have to work through, you know, hopefully over the next 30 to 60 days. And again, we most certainly can have an IT transition update on all meetings going forward. And then that would allow feedback from the IT transition team. We can take notes and have those to you as to what those discussions and interactions have been with Goldsmith Solutions. And then kind of an update on what the plan is department by department. Because again, I think a very important piece of this is that the each elected official or department head has some idea of when they think they're going to be transitioned over.
And I'm hoping, you know, Mr. Belt, that we can maybe pull together our first transition team meeting Thursday or Friday just for a real short, you know, and answer, get some of the answers to those questions. The data center was the one that a lot of us didn't have any idea. And I thought of an analogy the other day of, you know, a data center has a bunch of apartments that they rent, which is basically just the structure, which is a rack. So they lease that space out and the power and the cooling that it takes. And then you put your own furniture in that apartment. And I think we have two choices. One is to remain in that apartment, keep all of our equipment there and continue to pay our current provider until the end of that contract, or to move to a new apartment, which might be just moving next door to another rack. Yeah, so I think that's the decision on that that'll have to be made.
That would the money be on doing something like that? Do you have any idea?
That minimal, I think.
That was my discussion with Mr. Goldsmith when I talked to Mr. Belt that day. And I kind of asked his opinion on it, and he said he would look at it that Thursday, Friday when he's down here. So.
Now, for example, Judge, you talked about hardware. So I have been moving forward with break fix type hardware stuff. So like this weekend, there was a storm blow through. It blowed out the antenna receiver dish, whatever it is, on my office and the DA's office. The lightning got them both. It blew the line fuse in my office. We were without power until Mr. Basham got it text New Mexico out there Sunday, I guess, to get the line fuse reattached. We had one extra receiver in stock, or FA did. I don't think it was. They thought we might have one in here, but we didn't. They had one in stock. They asked me. I told them to go to the DA's office first because so they fixed the DA's office yesterday. They ordered the parts to fix mine, had them overnighted. They're supposed to be here today at some point, and they're going to fix mine. But things like that, I've just been holding on with. It's my own choice. And
But other regular, so like, I've not been submitting any new requests for projects, I guess. But break fix, things like that, we're rolling on with.
Mr. Belt is, you know, not trying to speak for the court, but I would tell you that that is very much in line with what I would think the intent is at this point is, you know, power outages and things break, we've got to fix them. I mean, we're a service organization. If we don't have connectivity, we can't provide the services, you know, to the people. It's kind of the planned things going forward that I think we owe it to Goldsmith to have some insight into before we just arbitrarily make those purchases.
Well, I predict we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about from item number 16 at the next Commissioner's Court meeting because we, the IT transition team, after we meet, have a chance to visit with Goldsmith. We've got to formulate a plan on what to do about Windows 11 coming,
yep.
Making sure that, you know, that we have a plan.
Yes, sir. And he's identified that, you know, inventory hardware and operating systems are at the top of the list. And he's also indicated to me verbally as well as through email that as he visits with department heads, he wants to collect what their, you know, issues are. What are things that department by department, what are they wanting to have addressed? And to your question earlier, Mr. Latham, that would be an opportunity for you and Rachel and whoever you want to meet with him to say, hey, this is where we are. This is where we want to go. This is what we need help with. I mean, that is your one-on-one time with them to get the answer straight from Mr. Goldsmith.
Is that the week, Judge?
Well,
yes, Thursday, Friday.
And I'd sent him an email, responded to an email this morning. I'm going to follow up this afternoon, and then if he can let me know which ones he did mention two. The sheriff's office was one of the two, and I don't recall off the top of my head. I thought I'd printed his email, and I may have left it up front. But those two specifically, he wanted, and then we'll work in the others and. Again, try to push that out to you, if not this afternoon, tomorrow morning early, so you've got some time to look at. But they will be on site here Thursday and Friday. And two, it's important, I will pull this from him, a list of his employees that will be here. I think it's important for y'all to have that list of names so that if somebody shows up and says, well, I'm just with Goldsmith, you can at least verify that that is someone that we've been told up front can look at your systems and talk with you.
Yeah, they've already sent on we're all there. See, just they've all every single one of their employees goes through that process, fingerprinted everything. So if they identify themselves as one of them, they should be on that list.
Mr. Belt, anything else? I know there's something else. I mean, there's a whole laundry list, long list. Yes.
I know Mr. Bill Smith is very intelligent and knows how all of this works much, much better than I do. And I know he knows full well that he can't walk in my office or anybody's office and look at much of nothing that he needs to look at to make a decision about our stuff without having some login credentials, which I'm not in possession of, and he's not in possession of. And I know he knows that. And so I would be hopeful that he would reach out to some people that have that before then and have a discussion with them.
That was part of our conversation.
Okay.
I had a list, and that was one of them.
say it was the tax office, but maybe not.
I think that's correct.
Yeah, I think it was the sheriff's office and the tax office, the two. And then, you know, road bridge, those are the three that really have special, many special needs. Yes, you have special needs.
We still have our yellow notepads when I started.
Do you have like a time frame of when it's going to be here Thursday or Friday?
I don't at this point, but again, I'd responded this morning. I told him I will close the loop after we have commissioner's court today. So you should have at least, you know, an idea, something, you know, by this afternoon.
He could walk through the laptop.
Yeah. Okay. But you do have his CJIS credentials at this point. Okay. All right.
I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 out of the 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7. Oh, no, we got everybody but Justin Carruthers. If we can pull together a little transition meeting Thursday afternoon or Friday morning, which works best for them. Anybody have any problems with either one of those in here?
I'm available for both of those.
Okay.
I got a class one on Thursday, but Friday I'm good.
Okay. Friday morning?
Yeah. Ms. Newton, are you okay Friday morning?
Mm-hmm.
Mr. Bell?
That's the 31st.
Yes, sir. Yes.
Okay, I'll get with them. I would imagine, I don't know if they're going to spend the night here or not, so I'll get with them and find out what time, but we'll plan on our first little meeting. So please, I mean, come up with questions and stuff, and I'm sure the nice thing is there's going to be a whole group of them. We'll have probably the technician, we'll have the engineer, we'll have the owner, yeah, we'll have a whole group of them to fire off a lot of questions.
Would that be here?
Yes, I think so. I think this would be the best spot. But I'll get that out. I'll talk to him after court and get that settled. And I'll send each one of you guys an invite.
Well, this is always a loaded question because I know that the answer to the question, but I'm going to ask the question anyway. Is there anything else to cover under item number 16? Or is there any action that the court wishes to take under item number 16? All right. Hearing none, we will coordinate and schedule for the initial IT transition team meeting on Friday morning. Item number 17 is to consider moving the November 11th Commissioners Court meeting to November 10th or the 12th. November 11th is a holiday with some other things that have come up basically on my calendar. It would assist me greatly if we could move our first meeting in November to the 12th.
Okay.
I'll move my dental appointment.
Is that...
That's fine. I figured I'd have to.
That
it's just a checkup.
Just one of those that we need to do. So I would entertain a motion to move our November 11th meeting to November 12th at 9 a.m.
I'll move.
Motion from Commissioner Basham. Second.
Second.
Second from Commissioner Weddle. Any other discussion on item number 17? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 18 is to consider a selection of a vendor for external financial audit services under RFQ 25-03. We approved the publication of that RFQ back in the 1st of September, 1st of October, 1st of September. And under that, it was posted on our website. Notice was published in the newspaper, as well as reaching out to some select organizations for direct solicitation. In that, we received one response to that RFQ that has been provided to you. I've talked with Mr. Wood. He is comfortable with this, with the vendor that has responded. There is no federal funds that are tied to this. So even though we have one respondent, a qualified respondent, we're not necessarily under an obligation to resubmit for this. And given that they can provide the services under the timeline that we had requested starting in December, with the completion date basically the end of February, and they have proposed that to have that audit submitted to the court the first week of March.
I'll make the motion. Final financial audit service, RFQ 2503 to Lincoln Court.
Thank you.
We've got a motion to approve the external financial audit services to, and the name escaped me. Singleton Clark from Commissioner Taylor, second from Commissioner Matthews. Any further discussion under item number 18?
So this will go through the same process. They'll submit a contract to us, I assume. Then we'll have to approve the contract.
Yes.
Okay. Yeah, because I was looking at the three year deal. So I will. Okay. Just want to double check.
And again, that starts that negotiation yep. process. But yes. Perfect. They would submit that to us for the court's approval. Any further discussion under item number 18? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Item number 19 is to consider a budget amendment number 11 for FY25. I've had ongoing discussions with Mr. Wood. He is working on that as we speak. So with the court's indulgence, I would ask that we move item number 19 until we reconvene after the executive session to allow him some additional time. He would, he's striving to get that considered today. But I think we owe it to him to give him some additional time. That is not something that we will discuss in the closed session. It is not subject to attorney-client privilege. So is there any objection to moving item number 19 following the closed meeting?
No, sir.
Okay. Which brings us to item number 20, which is to pay bills. We've had bills presented in the amount of $673,112.76.
Okay.
Got a motion to pay bills from Commissioner Matthews, second from Commissioner Taylor. Any further discussion under item number 20? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
All those opposed say no. Ayes have it. Motion carries. Brings us to reports. Commissioner Matthews.
At some point, we need to have a discussion on whether the budget supported the holiday pay for the dispatchers or not. There's money in the budget that says holiday and overtime underneath the sheriff's budget. But my visit with the auditor it's unclear at this time. And then there's no direction for the treasurer to do that. So we need to discuss that at some point. And then we did the validation for sheep and goats, all the state stuff yesterday at the youth fair. And I had one other thing. It's fine. That's it.
Okay. Thank you. Commissioner Whittle?
Yeah, I think kind of like Commissioner Matthews, we didn't have this as an agenda item or anything, but Like everybody knows, the bazaar got canceled on Saturday and it's being moved to Thursday. Thursday at 6 o'clock. Has there been any discussion with the city as to how we're going to handle the area around the square? Because, you know, normally they do it on a weekend, they partition it off, put all the booths around the square. It starts at six. If our folks aren't out of there, I mean, promptly at five, I don't know what we're going to do about moving vehicles on that day.
Under my report, I think I can address that because I did have a department head reach out to me concerning that.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be, it'll be a logistic. Okay, that was all I had.
Okay, thank you. Commissioner Basham?
Yesterday, Jim Commissioner here and passed, so it was a good day. Jim, got an excellent job. Thank y'all.
Thank you. Makes me smile.
Yes.
Anything else? Okay. Commissioner Taylor?
Pretty much good. Everything's good.
Okay. All right. Great. Okay. So Commissioner Weddle had brought up Boozar. Yes, it was canceled for the weekend. It's been moved to Thursday. I'm going to issue guidance that county employees departments may release their employees at 4:30. To allow some additional time to clear out. I do not know specifically what the city's plans are, but obviously they'll need a little bit of setup time. So with the court's indulgence, we will close departments early around the square at 4:30 on Thursday.
On that note, just so that there's no question about filings of legal documents, if you would just close the courthouse at 4:30, that would be the action that would allow the clerk's offices specifically to not be open to receive filings.
Yes, sir. Point well taken.
Close at 4:30.
Point well taken.
No question.
Yes, I didn't even think we had a trial, you know, going on, and you got the juror part there.
Yeah, because I bet that they'll be wanting to close down and get everybody out of there and start setting up those booths and stuff. Usually, you know, when they do it the other times, they usually start setting them up in the middle of the afternoon.
Yeah.
Well, you know, there are a lot of dynamics that involve outside of the county government. I mean, there are private businesses that operate on the square. How the city is going to manage that is not right. Anything that I'm here to try to, you know, work out. But I do want our employees to have the opportunity to vacate the area, as well as any of them. I believe we've got some departments that are supporting Boozar. To give them an opportunity to set up in a manner that is appropriate for that event. Mr. Belt, I appreciate that, and I'll get an order published on that for clarification and can be posted in all courts. As previously discussed, Goldsmith will be on site Thursday and Friday to conduct initial assessments. I'm going to give them the latitude to coordinate directly with the elected officials and department heads, rather than trying to dictate. If they do that direct one-on-one coordination, I think that allows more flexibility than what we could or I would want to try to define. And again, with that, determining what is a convenient time on during the Friday morning time frame to have that initial IT meeting, IT transition team meeting. Early voting continues on the constitutional amendments. That continues through Friday of this week because this is constitutional amendments. There's no voting on the weekends. And then, as a reminder, Election Day is Tuesday, November 4th. This weekend is the end of daylight savings time. So unless you just want to be really early to church on Sunday, I would encourage you to set your time clock back, or you will be there about an hour earlier than everyone else. And then I do want to make the court aware that One of the vendors that responded to our RFP for IT services has indicated the filing of a complaint with the county concerning our selection process. So as that has now kind of progressed into a legal matter, I'd remind all members of the court that the information that we have received has proprietary information and should not be discussed with any members outside of the court or our legal counsel. And until that complaint is resolved, I would encourage the court to not have discussions with the public, as that could be information that, again, is subject to attorney-client privilege until we get this matter resolved. And sorry to share that with you, but I will have, I believe most of you have seen email traffic concerning that. But I just wanted to reiterate that. Real quick, that was kind of a little bit lengthy. Before we get into closed meeting executive sessions, any alibis from the court concerning anything? Okay, hearing none. Item number 23 on our agenda is pursuant to Texas Government Code Section 551.071. The Commissioner's Court will conduct a closed meeting to consult with the county attorney regarding pending litigation and a matter subject to attorney-client confidentiality, to include, but not limited to, that case of the County of Coryell versus Purdue Pharma, as listed in the 152nd District Court of Harris County. Coming out of executive session, on top of what Mr. Belt has for us, there will be discussions concerning agenda items number 8 and 9. There will be no discussions concerning item number 19, but hopefully item number 19 will be complete by the time we reconvene in open session. So with that, I have 10:49. We will recess at 10:49 and reconvene in a closed meeting in the front conference room at 11 a.m. Thank you all.